Amen. Well, I thank my mother for that. I don't need the podium. You can just leave it there. I don't have any notes. I don't have any papers, so I don't really want anything between us. I'm just going to stand here and pour out as God has led me to do. I did ask the organizer, I said, first of all, how long do you want me to talk? I always try to be very obedient to headship. So as he gave me the time interval, I will tell you, like Elizabeth Taylor told her fifth husband, I'm not going to hold you long. So I'll be as concise as God will allow me to be upon this momentous occasion. I am thankful for the organizers, for Reverend Kemp, who has so graciously and so honorably and eloquently pastored these three great churches, for my grandmama's pastor, Reverend Dumas here, and all of the other pastors who may be present here today. I give you honor, and I am indeed thankful and honored to be here. It is sometimes a little difficult when your mother's in the audience. As we were eating, I saw my mother give me an eye and frown up a little bit as I was eating, because as I was eating, I was taking the yeast risen dough concoction and I was using it to absorb the aqueous extract from some of the culinary delights that we had. To break that down, I was sopping my bread in the gravy. And a lot of times, mother likes me to be very, very proper and eloquent and proper etiquette as I eat. But I used to spend my summers here in Forsyth, Georgia with my grandmother. And grandmother used to cook at this school. And grandmama could cook. And grandmama had a different dietary plan than I currently follow. But it kept grandmama 97 years. So I learned a tremendous amount from the heritage of my grandmother. And as I come before you on this occasion, I usually don't like to leave my church very often. Usually when I get requests, I will often try to send one of my brothers. But I am here tonight because of my mother, two levels. First of all, I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her, period. And second, they really asked my mother to speak. And my mother said, oh, no, you need Nathaniel. So that's the second reason why I'm here. And I normally preach every week. I have on our website at airjesus.com almost 500 sermons that you can go and hear absolutely free of charge. And it's usually easier if you can just take a proven message and just go and deliver that all over again because it's proven. You know when people are going to clap. You know when they're going to shout. You know the crowd reaction. You don't have to worry about it. You know that it's already tested. So from a ministerial standpoint, it's a lot safer to just take something that's proven and go and just re-deliver that instead of taking something that's fresh that you haven't tried. But it has never been the way God has allowed me to work. Whenever I go places, God will give me a fresh word that my congregation has never heard and that I don't take back and preach at my church. Turn to the person next to you and tell them, this is just for you. So as I prayed and as I asked God, Lord, what do I speak to the people about? He gave me a scripture that began to unfold the closer it got to this occasion. And God simply says, Psalms chapter 20, verse number 7. And fundamentally, Psalms 27 says, some trust in chariots and some trust in horses. But we shall put our trust in the name of the Lord. Now, I first of all had to begin to understand that verse. But it became clearer to me the closer it got to this occasion because the weather began to get real bad. And you know the storms and the conditions that have happened in the past 24 hours with the seriousness of the weather, so serious to whether we were wondering, would the event be canceled at all? But I told my mother, I said, Mother, we can get there because I have a Jeep. And not only do I have a Jeep, I've got a Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited with quadra-track four-wheel drive. I said, Mama, we can go anywhere. It doesn't matter what the weather is. We can go anywhere in that Jeep. That Jeep has the best four-wheel drive system of any vehicle commercially made. We can almost climb straight up a mountain with it. Mama, we can go anywhere. Some put their trust in chariots, and some put their trust in horses. The modern equivalent of a chariot is nothing but a car. Under the hood, it is rated in horsepower. And it's got an 8-cylinder, 4.7-liter, almost 300 horsepower engine. I said, Mama, we can go anywhere in that Jeep. Putting faith in chariots and horses. And then God began to stir up the weather. Planes costing millions and millions and millions of dollars with all of this modern electronics. And I used to fly a plane with all of the modern GPS system, with all of the modern instrument landing systems, with all of this great technology shut down. When God just said, and as I began to look at the weather and I talked to the organizer, he said, I don't know whether we'll be able to hold this event or not. And God was telling me, I don't care what kind of chariot you got. When I shut a door, no man can open it. And when I open a door, no man can shut it. Some put their trust in chariots and horses. Some of you have got your trust in some things. Some of you are even trusting in government. Some of you are trusting in this is an institution of education. There are some situations in life that your degree ain't worth a quarter. You can talk proper with magnificent elocution. Grandmother was not well educated academically, but grandmama understood some things. Grandmama could not conjugate her verbs. Grandmother may have used some contractions that would make an English teacher wince, but grandmama understood who to put her trust in. And some of us of this modern age, we've got our trust in chariots and horses. And I asked God, I said, Lord, well, what do you want me to tell the people? And I understand that this is a heritage banquet, and out of my own intellect, I saw such great speaking potential just in the names of these three churches. Hopewell. Oh, you could take Hopewell and just, you could do a whole sermon just off Hopewell. And then Kinet. Kinet roots from the word kinetic, which in chemistry and physics, it deals with the energy of motion, and that when something is set in motion, it'll continue in motion, and it will not stop or deter. Oh, you could just take kinet and just go to town with it. And then there's the Rocky Mountain. Oh, some of you all know something about some Rocky Mountains. You could take any one of those or all three of them. It brought back to mind what my father used to tell his six sons about the threefold cord cannot be easily broken. So many things out of my own intellect I could see great sermons pouring forth from, but I have learned not to put my trust in my educational degree, not to put my trust in that which I could logically figure. As I was sitting there before the banquet began, the mistress of ceremonies asked me, she said, do you get jittery or nervous before you speak? And I said, no. And I absolutely don't get jittery or nervous as long as I know I've got what God has told me to deliver and I'm going to do what he says. Now, when I'm out of the will of God, I get real nervous whenever I'm getting ready to do something and I know God has not directed me to do it, or I'm getting ready to do something away from his will. And to be honest about it, people, all of us do stuff away from his will. All of us at times, even pastors and preachers and priests, all of us at times move away from what God has led and directed us to do. So as long as I am in his will, and I had some great sermons that I could see, but I had to ask the Lord, what do you want me to tell the people? And he said, I want you to tell them that I control these three things. And we saw how the weather had cleared for us. We were able to come down as fast as we could with no problems whatsoever. When God opens the door, and just 24 hours earlier, we were wondering, would we be able to get here at all? See, when God opens the door, God can open a door and you can get here on a bicycle. If he shuts the door, you can't get here in a tank. So I said, Lord, what do you want me to tell the people? He said, tell them that I control these three things. And if you go through life understanding that it is God who controls these three things, and all of them begin with a T. If you can understand that God controls these three things, he said, first of all, tell them that I control things. I control things. Now, I am a pastor of a church, but I do not earn my income as pastor of a church. I'm not on salary, never been, don't take any money at all from the church. I'm a businessman. But even in business, and as smart as we may think we are, as much as we follow good business practices, no matter what we may do in the logical, there's one thing that my brother and I who are in business together, there's one thing that we have learned to understand. Until that door opens, you can stand up to bat and swing all you want. Until God opens that door, you're not going anywhere. He said, first of all, explain to them that I control things. Things. Just in the past year, especially within the past 2 years, for those of you who are in business, you understand how tough it has been in business. The economic climate of America has taken a greater shaking in the last 24 months than it literally has in its history. We have seen businesses fall around us to our left and to our right. Of every race, every color, every type of business, we've seen them go out. Last week, I was in an auction of one of our biggest competitors who was nearly twice our size, and all of their equipment and plant and real estate being auctioned off. We have seen those fall on our left and fall on our right. But the last 12 months was the largest year in our corporate history in the last 60 years. My company makes nutraceutical products. We make natural health products. I have seen multi-hundred million dollar companies tell us that they have lost 70% of their sales within the last 2 years. I saw my company go up 70% in the last 12 months. I saw all around us falling and faltering. And I saw prosperity pouring on us like never before. Tell them that it is I who control things. You think you control things. Oh, no, you don't. God has the power to bless and to curse. He always has and he always will. He controls things. God can just whisper a word in your ear that could bring you $50 million tomorrow. He could even tell you the lottery number. Now, I know some of you say, well, Pastor, that ain't biblical. Yes, it is. Now, I don't advise people, I don't recommend playing the lottery, but it's not against business. That's how they chose the missing disciple. So he could just, you don't think God knows the big lottery number coming up this week? You don't think God knows it? And some people would ask me, well, Pastor, if you hear from God, you mean If God spoke to you the lottery number, the big, would you walk down to the lottery office and play it? I said, I sure wouldn't. I would run down there and play it. So God has the power. God has the power. He controls things. Everything in your life, every blessing that will come to you, God controls things. And when you are in line with his word and with his will and with his way, Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. God controls things. It's the first thing he told me of the three T's. His second thing, tell them that I control time. I control time. Too often with some of us, we get impatient on the things. And oftentimes I will counsel with people and they, Pastor, well, when am I going to get this? And when am I going to get Abraham, who is considered the father of faith? He didn't understand that God controls time and timing. And you have to understand timing in your life and in your divine plan. My mother mentioned that I had the gift of prophecy at 4 years old, but a prophet prophesied over me sitting in a Bible study. He pointed me out and he said, you're going to be a pastor of a church one day. At the time, I was in an R&B singing group, lead singer. Pastoring a church was absolutely the most ridiculous thing I had ever heard. But 15 years later, there I was in a pulpit pastoring a church. I did not realize that the prophetic would take 15 years to come to pass. Tell them that I control time. You've got to learn to be patient on some stuff. Some of you, I see you've got some business awards. Some of you are in business. When I started my business, it took me 7 years before I ever got a paycheck. It took me 7 years before I ever got in the business. Now does several million dollars a year. But it took me 7 years before I ever got my first paycheck from that company. You've got to understand that people, sometimes it takes time for some stuff. It takes time for some stuff. Someone sent me a story out of the news today. And the story dealt with a couple who had been engaged when they were in their 20s. The young man got shipped off to war. While he was off to war, the young lady's mother didn't like the young man. So she encouraged her daughter to dump him and marry someone else. And she did. The young man was still in love with the daughter. And when he got back, he was heartbroken. But he went on to marry someone else. She had married someone else. But he still loved her. They had great marriages. Nearly 50 years later, his wife died. 9 months after that, her husband died. And the story was about, and they were in their 90s, and they were happily married, but it took 57 years for them to get back together. Sometimes it takes some time. And they said that everybody had to die who was opposed to that relationship. Sometimes it takes some time for God to bring into fruition and for him to bring up through harvest. It takes some time for him to bring some things into our lives. But we're often too impatient. We want stuff yesterday. We're a microwave generation. And you've got to understand, sometimes God is a crock pot cook. So we've got to understand it takes some time for God to bring some of these things into fruition in our lives. And we've got to be just patient. Tell them that I control time. 1,000 years is but a watch in the night to God. So when we understand that, We won't become so impatient and think that, Lord, you are passing me by on the promises that you have spoken unto me. When is this thing going to come to pass? It's going to come to pass when God gets ready for it to come to pass. And you may be just like Abraham, thinking that you are too old, that things are too gone by. And God has the seeds inside of you, something so great that you can't even imagine what it will be. Tell them that I control time. And the third thing that he told me to tell you that he controls, and it sounds a little funny, and I had to frown my brow when I heard it. But he says, tell them that I control termites. I said, termites. He said, tell them that I control termites. See, oftentimes in your world, stuff happens. You all turn to the person and tell them stuff happens. Stuff just happens. And do you know sometimes stuff happens and it's not the stuff you want to happen? It's not the stuff you were looking for? Matter of fact, sometimes it's like Job says, the thing I have feared has come upon me. Sometimes it's the very thing you didn't want to happen. Sometimes the thing is painful. Sometimes it hurts. It's bitter. It's nasty. You wish you didn't have to have anything to do with it. Tell them that I control termites. And sometimes God will have to send a canker worm into your world. He'll have to send some things in to erode it because you're too dependent on the thing. And he'll snatch it away from you. And he'll get you to a point. And I know that none of the people who are listening to me right now are like this. But some folk cannot pray good unless they're knocked to their knees. Sometimes we cannot get up a real sincere prayer until it. All hell has broken loose in our world. And sometimes, you know, even in the Bible talks about, in reality, it really talks about giving thanks for your food after you have eaten. Do you know you can't give people to give thanks after they're full? Now, when you are hungry, I'm not talking about hungry. When you are hungry, you will really pray a blessing on your food. When you are really, Lord, thank you for this. You will really pray a blessing on your food when you are hungry. But you get to the point of, do you know it is hard to get people to give thanks after they are full? And sometimes for God to just bring you back into the fold of thankfulness and appreciation, he has to snatch some things away from you. Tell them that I control the termites. I have learned more just in business from my failures than I learned from my successes. Termites. When stuff went all wrong, when stuff just goes just like you figured it would, doesn't teach you a whole lot. It's an old slogan my father used to have. He said, smooth seas never made good sailors. Even when I'm taking a commercial flight, I don't want an airline pilot who's never been through a storm. I have excellent health, but if I ever had to go for an operation, I don't want a surgeon who's never had anything go wrong. I want a surgeon who's operated on a person, blood vessel done popped, loose stuff done bust, he had to rush it. You know, I want one of them kind of surgeons, you know, they come into the trauma hospital, man shot up 50 times, he's plugging his hole. I want a surgeon, if I ever had to go through surgery, I don't want just a textbook surgery where everything is just gone just like it's supposed. I want a surgeon who can handle some stuff if some stuff go wrong. So God has to send the termites into our world sometimes. See, some of you even right now, even though you're not pastors, you're not ministers, you still minister to other people. And some of you can minister more effectively to people just because of what you've gone through. Before I became a minister, God told me, he said, I'm going to have to send you through some things so that you can relate to the people. I didn't like the way that sounded from the start. But sometimes when I'm sitting around counseling people, their mouths will fall open, their eyes get big, and they think I'm speaking to them out of the prophetic. They're saying, Pastor, how in the world You're able to see into my world. And you know what's going on. God has given you a great prophetic. I've been through it. That's how I can see. That's how I know what I had gone through it. So sometimes God will have to send the termites into your world for many different purposes. But when we understand that it is God who controls it all, some put their trust in chariots, and some put their trust in horses. But we shall put our trust in the name of the Lord. Amen. Tell them that I control things, that I control time, and that I even control the termites. God bless you.
This ends message number 5466 by Nathaniel Brauner Jr. To hear other messages or to send this message number 5466 to a friend, simply go to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com. This has been message number 5466, Things, Time, and Termites. Listen to airjesus.com and theonlineword.com often and keep your spirit charged up.